Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Fox News is reporting right now that there are rapid developments in the Charlie Kirk case. They're going to shift here. I'm just watching very closely any developments that happen. You're going to hear about them as they are happening. We're going to go live to it here in this 2 o'clock hour. Ethan, my understanding is that Mark Reardon's going to have a live interview with Brian Kilmeade at 3:15.
Yes. Yep. Brian Kilmeade is going to be joining live from Fox Studios in New York City.
Yeah. Definitely will want to remember that. Can we get that TV on the correct, whatever that is, while you're over there?
It's what I do.
Thank you. Can you fix that? Well,
apparently not, I guess.
That's what you do. It's fine. Maybe it is up to speed. I don't know. Usually we've got, just some behind the scenes here, usually we have, how many screens am I facing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I can look at 8 screens right now. And they, all but 2 of them have something different on them. Except for, we have Fox News on 2 separate TVs, and one of them is this DirecTV? Yeah.
Yes.
This has DirecTV?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's DirecTV, and this other one is YouTube TV, so
streamed.
It's streaming.
So it's delayed.
So they're not 100% synced up. So we can sometimes, I'm looking at the one that's YouTube TV, which is a little bit behind. And so if it's not 100% synced up, sometimes we can, it's a bit before we realize that they're not on the same page.
I'm looking at the DirecTV one. So if there's something breaking, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm pointing. And Andy's looking at the other one, and it's still a commercial for dental
Ozempic floss. Yeah.
And I'm like, what? You saying I need to floss more?
Yes. Gosh, my teeth. Come on. We were talking in the end of the last hour about, you said that it's even, I don't remember how you phrased it, but it had to do with like kind of understanding the evil that is in existence.
I think there's a natural human instinct and desire to that when terrible things happen, you want to have reasoning behind them. And that's what makes it even harder, is because there isn't, right? But yes, I think there is a natural human desire to want to understand why terrible things happen.
Agree. I think I'm going to beat this drum for a little bit, but the thing that set Charlie Kirk apart from the rest of the people who are out there, and we said this off the air, I don't know that we said it on the air, but Charlie Kirk could reach his hands into any section of the Republican Party. And I'm talking about the Republican Party as I define it, not as how the people who hate the Republican Party define it. Because I don't think the Republican Party is, you know, people are going to say, well, what about the white supremacists? Well, I don't think that white supremacy has any place in the Republican Party. So don't get it twisted when I talk about how Charlie Kirk, he truly could go from any of the different kind of cliques that exist in the Republican Party, and he could exist there in a welcomed fashion. He wasn't, you know, too populist or too socially conservative or too religious or too anything. He had this vision that was broad. It was bigger than the politics of the politics. And I truly believe that the thing that made it special is that he constantly, with his fist pounding on the table, said, it's not about the political win. It's about your faith and it's about your family. The politics is what you do after you get your priorities in order. And it really does feel like the political left is the exact opposite, that you should sacrifice everything for the dictate of the political party. The party in opposition to Charlie Kirk does not celebrate family, the family unit, religious faith and expression, pride in America. They just don't. You can't. I'm trying to look, and I know that they exist. And I say this all the time when people are like, oh, everybody in Congress, they're all crooks and thieves. And I'm always like, name 10 people in Congress. You probably can't. Most people can't. So there's a lot of people who are Republicans, and there are a lot of people who are Democrats who are working tirelessly on Capitol Hill to represent their constituents that sent them to Washington, D.C. to do so. And they're good people. And that is a bipartisan thing. But when you have Charlie Kirk prioritizing God first every single time, and family saying, go get married. Like, he's a young man who got married and had kids right away. And that was the best thing about him, partnered with his faith. Then it was politics. And I think about, like, the priority of religion and Christian faith that Charlie brought to the table. This is the part that is very hard for me to come face to face to. We don't need a warm and fuzzy puppy sunshine and rainbows savior if the evil isn't really that bad. We don't need something that is so great that it would take outstretched arms and nails and wood to save us from something that we couldn't save ourselves unless the evil was that bad. The Sunday school, you know, little kid version of understanding and learning about Jesus is the beginning, is the entry into understanding how big God's grace and mercy is. And it takes big, huge grace and mercy to save us from the scope of evil that exists in this world. And the only reason why I've really come to that conclusion probably in the last 10 years of my life is because there's no other way to understand the evil that exists. It, like, it magnifies in my mind the importance and the relevance and the magnitude of Jesus as a savior. Because look how great, look how, and by great, I mean sizable, massive, extensive evil is in our society right now. God is greater. That's the only way to understand any of this, because the evil doesn't make sense on this side of the spiritual divide. If you're surrounded by the Spirit, that evil is incomprehensible. But how lonely would it be to just exist in the nothingness of the other side? And I think we have a culture right now. You want to talk about luring people into just depravity, emptiness, and loneliness. That is a really, really big thing out there. Have you heard people talking about how happy Charlie Kirk looked all the time? Mm-hmm. Like his smile.
Yeah.
Happy warrior, Charlie Kirk. That's not, that's something that Charlie Kirk, that is a spiritual nature of Charlie Kirk, in my opinion, that he was able to bring joy to an argument that is traditionally joyless in politics.
There was a clear and evident joy that he received from knowing what he was doing for the younger generation, even with the thousands that he interacted with, that he disagreed with, knowing that he had the opportunity to dialogue, create conversation, not just for the person on the other end of the microphone that he was speaking with, but for the millions of people that would watch his videos and those dialogue, forcing people to be challenged. And how many people in today's day and age challenged this generation, like Charlie Kirk, to think for yourself and to say you don't have to go with the status quo, you don't have to believe this certain thing just because you're being told that's how you need to think by society. Charlie Kirk challenged that, and it ruffled feathers, but ruffling feathers is not a bad thing. I mean, I heard him say multiple times, the moment you stop the dialogue is when bad things happen.
Yeah.
That's when the violence happens.
Yeah.
And the heartbreaking part is that he didn't stop talking, and it still occurred because people couldn't handle it. But man, I mean, Charlie Kirk stood for what people in one of the most important American values is, and that's being able to disagree and at the end of the conversation walk away and say, like, I had a conversation, okay, mm-hmm. and not say, man, you're a terrible human being or I want you dead. Like, that's not what he stood for. He stood for the opportunity and the right to be able to stand up for what you believe in and to converse about it and it be okay that you did.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Disagree. That is what Charlie Kirk stood for.
Completely. And there's something so empowering about watching him say, this is what I believe. This is who I am. And when he would say, you know, when he would set the table with the foundation that he is built on, which on top of that is where he comes to some sort of political opinion. He's got a foundation first, and his political opinions are derived on whatever his moral understanding is, and for him, it's his Christian faith. I appreciate so much that that part of the conversation is never up for debate. He will debate somebody who thinks that illegal immigrants should be able to stay here, somebody who thinks that a baby is the responsibility of the mother until it's born. That, you know, guns and the Second Amendment are an important part of the freedoms that Americans enjoy. And I see that being of particular interest to leftists who are out there speaking on this topic right now. They are trying to use Charlie Kirk's words against him. And this is the amazing thing. Brad, I don't know how much. I didn't send you a lot of Charlie Kirk clips to pull today. And I don't know that you pulled a lot of them. The wisdom of this man, I keep thinking about Paul in the Bible and how he would go to all these places. He'd go to these churches that were dealing with struggles, areas that were dealing with corruption and depravity and sin. And he would go be like, hey, guys, get it together. How did Paul die?
Paul went to prison and then
was beheaded, right?
Yeah. And then they executed him.
Paul was a threat. Paul was a messenger. I'm not going to go so far as to call him a happy warrior because Bible scholars, I don't know. But, I mean, he sure was resilient. I'd say that. Yeah. Did Paul know what his demise was going to be? He probably suspected that there would be an abrupt ending. Did Charlie Kirk? Here's the thought that I can't get out of my head because I don't know how to answer it. And because I'm like this, I think about these things. And I repeat them in my head until I kind of feel like I have a conclusion to it. If Charlie Kirk would have been told, you can't speak in Utah. It's your last, it'll be the last chance that you ever speak if you speak in Utah. I think for the sake of his children, he would have redirected his plans. But it never in a million years would have stopped him from speaking again. And the amount of clips that are out there, because all Charlie did was talk.
Yeah.
He actioned, obviously, but like everywhere he went, he was speaking. And here's a good comparison for the people who get fed these reels. I have like tried to eliminate them from my feed. Matt Rife, comedian.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things that people love, if they love him, I'm not a fan. I'm not against him. It's just he's not for me. And I think he'd agree that with that. But one of the things that people applaud him for is the ability that he works the crowd. So he goes to a place and he does his thing based on what happens in the crowd. I would assume in comedy, that's a lot more difficult than here's my set. I'm going to go to St. Louis and I'm going to do my set. I'm going to go to Charlotte. I'm going to do my set. I'm going to go to, Nashville and I'm going to do my set. He works the crowd. So every set's going to be a little bit different, right? Well, this is what Charlie Kirk did as well. He would go listen to people and then use his brain to respond. You have to have a foundational understanding of what you're talking about. You have to have a real, true, honest to God belief in what you're doing to do your thing that way. And Charlie had it. there are clips out there that talk about how violent Charlie knew that this movement could get. And the one thing that I keep holding in my brain is that the Bible says that God knew you before you were formed in the womb. He knew the hairs on your head. That God knew for every day of Charlie's 31 years of life what was going to happen. And Charlie Kirk trusted God's plan for Charlie Kirk. It's amazing to me that you could fit so much good, so much experience, so much actual measurable, tangible success in the life of one man who is murdered at 31 years old, as you could with Charlie Kirk, and watch the entire time that he stands by his faith. And that was a faith in a God who knew what was going to happen. That is a tough thing for people to understand. And the only way that I can wrap it all up in my brain so that I can get through the next minutes, hours, days, is to understand that if he's the God of the universe, and if he's telling us, as I said at the beginning of the show, if he's telling us that we need to be strong and courageous, man, there is a... I'm trying to think of a more modern day manifestation of an example of that than Charlie Kirk, and it's got not a thing to do with politics. I think we should do Ethan Sports and Local next.
Your wish is my command.
You're just like Ryan.
Am I?
Nope. Not even a bit. Ryan's got a couple days off. Kind of envious of that right now for our friend Ryan. He'll be back on Monday. YouTube live chat poll. Are you more or less likely to be open about your political opinions today? Go vote. Mark Reardon speaking live with Brian Kilmeade at 3:15. You're going to want to keep it here. We'll be right back.
Check it out. Sports and Local.
What the heck's a burgle nut?
What the heck's a burgle nut?
That's it today, I guess.
Yeah, Ryan really mailed it in.
Sure did.
Goes and hangs out with his buddies and is like, I don't know, I'll just put this clip in there.
He sure does leave an impression, doesn't he?
Yep.
So for today, regarding Sports and Local, you know, usually what my process is for this, just to let the people in on this, is I scroll through all the local news channels and see kind of what's going on in St. Louis. And this story popped up today that I believe I had heard bits and pieces of before. And I was like, man, what better day than to shed some light on Adam Wainwright's story around the September 11th attacks. Fox News, Joey Schneider put this out. It had first been told by Derek Gould, Cardinals beat writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. But I just thought it'd be cool to just recount this, a St. Louis connection to that horrible day. And I'm just gonna kind of jot through this. Adam Wainwright's recollection of September 11th, 2001. By early September 2001, Waino had finished his first full season as a prospect in the Braves organization. He planned a trip to New York City with his brother, Trey, from on the 10th and 11th. The two had planned on going to see Roger Clemens pitch at Yankee Stadium on the 10th. However, the game had been postponed due to rain, and instead, the two decided that they would visit the Empire State Building on September 10th, somewhere Adam in his personal collection, according to the Post. There's a photo dated September 10th, 2001, on top of the Empire State Building with the World Trade Center in the background just one day before those two towers would no longer exist.
Wow.
With the game canceled, he and Trey decided to go ahead and jump to the next part of their trip. They would go and visit the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown on 9/11. Something, boy, that is up on my bucket list to do. But the two drove away from the city, and they spent the night in Schenectady, New York, more than two-thirds of the way to Cooperstown. And the next morning, they woke up to frantic phone calls, it says, from family, friends, worried about the brothers and their status. They weren't They weren't because there was talks that they would have potentially been in the World Trade Center that day. Fortunately, yeah. they weren't. And then the article goes on to explain that Adam and Trey were initially scheduled to meet Adam's financial advisor at Lehman Brothers on September 10th. He became unavailable, so they then ended up touring the financial district, which included a stop on a Trade Center floor. Knowing that he didn't plan to stay long, Adam's financial advisor wanted to reschedule a breakfast sometime on the morning of September 11th, and there were discussions about possibly meeting at a restaurant atop the World Trade Center's North Tower. Those plans were never finalized, so the brothers decided it was fine to rearrange plans and to make some to go ahead and travel to the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown early. The next morning, of course, September 11th, one of the deadliest days on U.S. soil, where nearly 3,000 Americans were killed at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon in Pennsylvania. And it says, not too far from it all, Adam and Trey weren't sure what they should do next. They ended up heading to Cooperstown, stayed around the area for a few days, and then returned home in a rental car after arranging plans to return home to family. It says, in quotes, I do remember that drive, Wainwright told Gould. It was days later, days, and you could still see the smoke 100 miles outside the city, and it was there in the sky the whole way. I'll remember that. Of course, we know the career in which Adam Wainwright had. He joined the Braves organization in 2003 and was later traded to the St. Louis Cardinals. And as mentioned, we all know the storied career that Adam Wainwright would go on to have with the St. Louis Cardinals. Will someday be a Cardinal Hall of Famer. Talks maybe someday could be a Baseball Hall of Famer. But what a recounting of his time in New York City on that day.
Isn't it interesting to think about how, you know, Adam Wainwright could have been there, but he wasn't. There are a lot of those stories. A lot of people who called off work that day or, you know, whatever. You want to talk about a lot. I mean, 9/11 was a life-changing event for all of us, but I think that would, there are some things that kind of take your breath away, make you not be able to take that full deep inhale and exhale. And I just think every time, if that was me or if it was my loved one, that like, why wasn't I there? Why was I sick that day? Why was I stuck in traffic? Why, you know, all of the why me? Survivor's guilt for sure. But, you know, we talk about somebody like Adam Wainwright, who had a storied career and is such an important figure in St. Louis and St. Louis sports, of course, and how many people he's helped through Big League Impact. You know, if you talk about like actual helping people who need help as opposed to just truly entertaining them through baseball. There are a lot of stories that just stopped on 9/11, and we didn't get to see how those stories played out.
I have an uncle. Well, we call him our uncle, basically godfather, but we call him Uncle Eric. And he was in New York City on 9/11 and was supposed to visit the towers on the morning and decided not to. He was there for work. And his wife didn't know if he was alive for multiple days. And not until he returned home. I mean, it took several days to find ways to get home. Everything was obviously, you know, shut down. And but I mean, so yes, and even a connection to that in my own family.
We're going to take a break. That Adam Wainwright story is crazy. And it just makes me think, you know, just like one little decision that you make that you did do or you didn't do, how fate kind of shakes itself out and oftentimes doesn't seem fair. So let's take a quick break. We got more Annie Fry Show right around the corner here. We can talk about this poll question as well. Are you more or less likely to be open about your political opinions today? Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go vote. We'll be right back. Is this the song that's playing at the end of Sandlot?
I believe it is.
I think it's the fireworks song at Sandlot. We're still in rapid development stage. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, there's no new developments. Been monitoring X, been monitoring Facebook, been monitoring all the outlets that I can, and I'm not seeing anything that's new other than just holding on.
Fox News reported within the last hour Utah authorities have delayed a press conference about the investigation into the assassination of Charlie Kirk due to, quote, rapid developments, end quote, in the investigation. The presser was originally announced to begin at 12:45 local time. That's mountain time, right? So that'd have been 1:45 our time.
Utah, yeah.
And just as a point of reference, whenever they give these times, since it's in Utah, it'll be given in mountain time. So we're just an hour later than that. The Utah Department of Public Safety announced the change about an hour before the briefing was to begin. Due to the rapid developments in our investigation, we will suspend this. We will release an updated time later today. Mark Reardon is, as always, picking up for me at 3 p.m. And he's got Brian Kilmeade live at 3:50. Did I say he's picking up at 3 p.m.? I said that,
3
right?
3 p.m.
That's what I said, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
But Kilmeade's going to be on with him at 3:15 p.m. live. So you're going to want to make sure that you are listening to that. I'm excited to tune into it. We also, on the Annie Fry YouTube live stream, so as you know, we talk about this every day. We talk about the YouTube live chat poll. What is the YouTube live chat poll? I know some of you message me and you can't find it and you just want to tell me what you think about any given question, like today. Are you more or less likely to be open about your political opinions today? Basically, every day we broadcast our show live on YouTube, as we do on the Odyssey app, so you can listen to us on your phone anywhere you go in crystal clear connection. When you find 97.1 FM Talk, or you connect to Annie Fry Show on the Odyssey app. But if you ever want to watch us, or if you want to have us on in the background, or maybe the radio signal doesn't come in and for whatever reason you can't use your app, you can watch us on YouTube as well. You can also watch us later, after the fact, on YouTube. But during the live show, we put up a poll, and it's just there in the live chat. We usually have lots of lively conversation going on during the course of the show. A lot of people discussing and participating, which we love. But what we're going to do today is a little bit something extra special. After our show gets over on the live stream, we're going to play for the people who are viewing the... I have it up here. How long is my video? It is 10 minutes. 10 minutes and 47 seconds. So as soon as we wrap up here with the show, it's my visit to the 9/11 Memorial in New York City. And it's with my old producer, Katie, and my dear friend, Katie Fitzpatrick. She went with me, so she's in that video as well. My husband was with us.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Went to New York City because the show and myself won an award, so we were able to go work in all the touristy things we could do, but this was like the number one thing that we wanted to do as a tourist was go to this museum, and it's breathtaking. So we'll air that. So if you join us right now, if you hop onto the Annie Fry YouTube channel, just have it in the background. As soon as we get done with the show, we're going to play that, and you can watch it. You can also just go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and pull up 9/11 Memorial Visit with Annie and Katie and watch it at your leisure, but we're going to show it on that. A lot of reflection on September 11th about what this day means in our American history, but I think it's the focus is kind of honed in a little bit in the wake of Charlie Kirk's death. Doesn't even seem to be the right word because he was murdered. He was assassinated. We're waiting to find out what the FBI's rapid developments are. You'll be in the right place listening to 97.1. We'll have them when it happens. Ethan and I were talking a little bit earlier about what this is like to endure. Brad, you've done a few of these things now, and I don't know that it really gets easier, but there is a numbness that kind of comes with these types of things when you have to hunker down and you got a job to do.
Yeah, when you got a job to do, I don't know how to, a better way of describing it, but it's almost like an out of body experience. I have to set aside every emotion, every feel that I have, and I have to make sure that what goes on from a technical aspect, that we sound professional on radio, because our job in that moment is to bring you, the listener, the most up-to-date, accurate information that we can. And there's a lot of moving parts that go with that, and you can't get caught up in your feels when that's going on. Yesterday, whenever this was going on, I actually told Ethan that this morning. I said I didn't really have a time to process what was going on from the moment I received the email saying that Charlie Kirk, that there were reports that Charlie Kirk had been shot. From that moment until we signed off of the Annie Fry show, I didn't have a moment to process this, and it hit me like a brick wall whenever I, you know, handed the show off to Reardon and to Ethan to take over. I'm heartbroken. I'm also angry. I would be lying to say that I wouldn't be. I look at how I feel, and it's almost like a seesaw of emotions on me, where you've got equal parts, just absolute devastation and absolute anger on each side. And it makes me feel numb. I see videos, man, the video of Charlie's little girl running up to him on Fox and Friends. I saw that in my brain. I saw that video whenever they said he was shot, whenever he passed away. His children deserved to have their father. They deserved to have their father. And his wife deserved to have her husband. And they will grow up without him, and she will live the rest of her life without him. And that's, to me, that's a tremendous injustice. And I know that God is still on his throne. I know that God will work all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And certainly Charlie Kirk is one of those people. But it's still just such an utter tragedy that his family is going to have to spend the rest of their life without him.
The YouTube poll today is, are you more or less likely to be open about your political opinions today? I'd love to know what your thoughts are on this particular issue, because I think that the idea, we played Greg Gutfeld's clip a little bit earlier in the show, but there's definitely an element of stunned silence that can follow something like this. When confronted with something like this, a lot of people, you know, you do one of the three Fs, you fight, you flight, or you freeze. And I don't think that there's anything wrong in the moment with freezing, because you kind of have to take inventory of what you have. You can't miss the opportunity to judge perspective. Gosh, when I got home last night, it was because we were able to go, my son played in a golf match. And I've never been able to go watch him at a golf match because I've always had volleyball. It just hasn't synced up for me to be able to go watch him. Apparently you watch golf by just renting a cart and driving around and watching golfers, which I'm like, this is better than golf. So we were out there and I intended to watch him and just enjoy that. But I was basically with my nose in my phone trying to watch the updates to see, you know, they got somebody, they don't have somebody. They got somebody, they don't have somebody. Just trying to figure out, make some... not make sense of it. You can't make sense of it, but understand where we were in the moment. I just wanted to know. This is really high pressure. And, you know, it's not specific to me. You were experiencing that as well. Wherever you were yesterday, you're trying to get from A to B. You're trying to get from work to home or to the next thing. And you feel the pressure and just kind of the mental jaw drop of what now? And when I got home, I've talked about this before, like when I get home, Molly runs up to me. She gives me a big hug. It's the best thing in the world. There's nothing better than that. And Molly ran to me and sat on my lap immediately. And she just embraced me with the biggest hug ever. And I was like, it was as if somebody said, hey, when mom gets home, she's had a tough day. Give her a big hug. And I was like, I like third degree to everybody. Like, who told her to do this? And nobody told her to do that. But she did it. It felt like a God thing. And then we were laying there on the couch after everything had kind of settled down a little bit. And if you ask my husband, she's in the transition phase of what all of our kids do, which is needing dad to fall asleep. And when they're little, they just want to be all over dad. And then, as he says, then I turn them, which is an over-exaggeration of my efforts. But at some point around this age, sometimes the kids get a little more clingy to me. And she seems to be doing that. And she was just laying all over me. And then she just looked at me. She goes, Mom, sing me the Little Sunshine song. And I go, I don't, what's the Little Sunshine song? She goes, you know, the Little Sunshine song. Sing it to me. And I started to sing. I was like thinking the only Sunshine song I know is You Are My Sunshine. So I started singing it, and she clearly affirmed that that's the one she was thinking about. And, you know, I'm laying on the couch and she's looking at me with the biggest smile on her face, and I'm singing, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away." So those are the types of moments that when you're in the thick of having to report this stuff and you are trying to do a job, and then you get to a quiet moment like that, for someone in my shoes, that can hit you like a ton of bricks. And then I feel guilty because it's just one moment, and then I'm surrounded by these people that I love. So when you find those moments and it feels kind of bottomlessly hopeless, the next thing you do is you ask God to bless that family. Mm-hmm. You go straight to prayer. And if you don't know how to pray, you just think your thoughts and hand them over to God. I have to think to myself that if Charlie Kirk could imprint upon all of the people who knew him, which is a global situation, if he could imprint upon them one message, it would be that in this time, you go to God in prayer. So why would we not do that now? Let's take a break. We'll get the poll results next. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It is September 11th, as an important day in our country's history, and God forbid that you're listening right now and you lost somebody in that tragic event. But I think we all lost a little bit of ourselves on that day when we look back and we remember what happened. But you get the opportunity to replace that part that you lost with something else. And I can't stress enough that you are in control of your energy and where you apply your energy. Have you seen people? We don't need to name names, but have you guys seen people that you know personally lose their mind over the Charlie Kirk situation and just be completely and totally insensitive?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's your immediate thought when you see that?
Part of you is just... It's hard to put into words because there's a part of you that is just so angry already. And part of you wonders and thinks, well, how could you possibly do such a thing, regardless of who it is? So there's a part of you that is, a part of me, I should say, that is angry. There's a part of me that hurts for people, that people can be so convinced that death is ever the answer, that murder is ever the answer, that you are willing to celebrate it. Part of me hurts
and just wants
people, honestly, it's the answer is people need Jesus. Mm-hmm. And those people need Jesus just as much as you and I do. And so I think there's part of me that's angry and a part of me that's saddened for them.
I want to encourage people to, and I don't really know if this is the right answer, but this is my method. If you got to say what you need to say, that's fine, but don't, you're not going to change these people's minds. Not these particular kinds of people who are using this, the loss of this man's life, as an opportunity to do a political victory dance. I just don't think we need those people in our lives. I don't think you need that energy in your life. And, you know, that doesn't mean you have to cut people out of your lives, but you can certainly very easily cut them out of your social media life. You don't have to participate in it. Mm. It's not on you to change people's hearts.
It's now, only going to make you more mad too.
Mm-hmm. There's not going to be a resolve, and you don't need to be the person who's sitting at your next event with friends going, and then I commented on Facebook. You know, the satisfaction that you're trying to get is not going to become yours in that method. I feel like the people who are out there speaking out like this right now, and I've only seen a few of them in my circle, and those people are not a part of my social circle anymore. They're gone. If I saw them in the grocery store right now, I'd be able to greet them as if that was our only interaction, and in real life and not have to have social media get it messed up, but protect your heart. Protect your soul. There are people out there trying to get it right now and get it in a really, really big way. Mm-hmm. Protect it. Guard it, as it is incredibly important to do that, and encourage those in your family to do the same. Don't take the bait. Find something that's positive and spread it everywhere.
If you pray, pray for Charlie Kirk's family and pray for our country.
If you don't pray, pray anyway.
Yeah.
It's a good day to start.
327 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. Are you more or less likely to be open about your political opinions today? 83% say more likely. Pretty telling.
Well, there you have it. If you're watching us on the YouTube live stream, we're going to wrap up things here, do a little business, and then we are going to play the video. It's a 10-minute video of my visit to the 9/11 memorial in New York City. So we'll give you a couple minutes to get signed on if you haven't yet. Mark Reardon next. Brian Kilmeade joins him live at 3:15.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.